Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday.
On this week's episode, we speak with Amy Giluto, the executive director of the Dutchess County Poughkeepsie Land Bank. They were recently awarded over $1 million to launch redevelopment projects in Dutchess County. Amy and I discuss what exactly a land bank is and how the funding will support housing initiatives, community revitalization, and partnerships with local businesses. This episode is a great one for learning more about and understanding much of today's real estate market and what homeownership looks like in 2025.
Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today. One thing that we haven't really gotten into so much on this season of Walsh Wednesday is kind of real estate, which is funny because, you know, Dad's business is real estate appraisal. You would think we would get more into that. But today we have a phenomenal program that's helping out Dutchess County, specifically here in Poughkeepsie, revitalizing not just the land, the buildings, but also the community and the people around us. So from the Dutchess County Poughkeepsie Land Bank, we have their executive director, Amy Giluto. Amy, how are you?
Great. Fabulous. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. So I'll admit, before getting you in here and having Impact PR, again, thank you guys for setting all of this up. I was unfamiliar of what a land bank was. So before we even get into what the Dutchess County Poughkeepsie Land Bank is, could you define what a land bank is for people who are like, this is brand new for them too?
Absolutely. So we do not handle money as, contrary to what people think
you
when
hear
you hear
bank,
the word bank,
it,
right?
Yeah.
So, and we're also just not here to store land. So land banks, there are 31 of them in New York State, and New York has very productive land banks. Land banks are tasked with repurposing vacant, abandoned, distressed properties. So what we do is acquire property through a variety of means these days, and which we could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
A little snafu and some change in property laws. But we acquire property and we repurpose it and get it back on the tax rolls, get it in some instances when the properties are really dilapidated and really are causing environmental concerns. We clean them up and we market them for resale, and we sometimes we sell them as is, or sometimes we clean them up, sell them affordably, or we actually can actually build new construction and rehabilitate properties and sell them to folks in our community.
Which is fantastic. And we'll definitely be getting into, you know, how you acquire them and also what it means for affordable living in a little bit. But one of the big things that just happened with you guys, y'all were awarded over $1 million to launch redevelopment projects here in Dutchess County. And that's a part of, and forgive me if I don't have everything together, this is a part of New York State's initiative, New York State Homes and Community Renewals Land Bank Initiative.
It is,
that's
yes.
What that's all through. $1 million to do all that. That's insane. So how does that awarding work here?
So, you know, this was a competitive grant that we applied for through the Office of Homes and Community Renewal, which is investing heavily in land banks. So land banks have proven that we're small, nimble organizations, and when our community needs a specific help with a specific problem that they're having in the community, as in regards to, you know, vacant and distressed property, we've proven through over, you know, land banks have been established since 2012, so it's fairly new, but we have made a lot of progress and we're doing a lot of work across the state. So the Office of Homes and Community Renewal recognizes that and has awarded our land bank with over $1 million, as you said, in funding, and a lot of that money is going to be just used for acquisition of properties. So we also have other projects in mind. So we're going to be rehabilitating a home that's kind of near the medical center, Master Brothers Medical Center. And that's going to be done in partnership with Hudson River Housing.
Oh, fantastic. Good people over there.
Yes. And yes. They're doing a project where they're actually partnered with Day One, and they're going to be rehabilitating a home that will be used also as a daycare. So oh, wow. We know that's another problem here in Dutchess County is there's not enough available daycare for folks. So yeah. That project is just a phenomenal project. So we'll be assisting financially with that,
yeah.
As well as demolition. So we yeah. don't like to demolish buildings unless we absolutely have to, but there are some cases where the building is just beyond repair, dangerous. It's a blight to the community, and it brings morale down, and also the safety concerns, of course,
yeah.
environmental concerns around that. So we'll have a few of those projects. Those haven't been identified yet, but then we'll be acquiring property so that we can start to build new construction in partnership with local businesses and other housing organizations. And also hopefully we will find some rehab projects of our own. So if we acquire something that needs some rehab, we have some money to do that.
There you go. No, that's fantastic. Rebuild, renew, and distribute. Fantastic stuff. And another thing that I was reading about here as well, besides the $1 million grant, you guys are also expected with all of this to have some private investment as well with hopefully another $1 million. Where does that private investment come from? Is that like through donations? Is that working with the community or those investors? How does that go about?
Yeah. So when we say that we leverage other funding, what happens is, and this is a wonderful thing that happens, when you start to invest in a community that has blight, that has some properties that are bringing the neighborhood down and because of they're vacant or they're dilapidated, when you start fixing those up, the neighbors do too. Mm. So we have that, but also we'll be using businesses here in the community. So when we need services, whether they be contractors or roofers or any of those things, we're going to be using folks that are right here that live and work yeah. here in the community. So
no,
we always try to do. We always try to use local business for all of our services and anything we contract out. And so when we talk about that, it really is a chain reaction when you start to improve neighborhoods and a lot of times, folks don't want to be the ugly duckling. They don't want it. So if we can concentrate some of our projects and really concentrate them, and that's when you see that neighborhood type of revitalizations. People start to take a pride in the homes they live in, and mm-hmm. Just a little boost of morale when you see that house that's been boarded up for 10 years, come back to life and folks move in. That really brings people up, and it increases property values for yeah. everyone in surrounding it. And it's just an all-around great thing.
No, it is a beautiful thing. And speaking about pride, I have some neighbors who do some phenomenal work on their lawns and gardens. And I always feel like, oh, I got to get out there. I don't have the time to get out there and work on my lawn. I'm in a very, very nice neighborhood. But it's true, though. You see all of it. You see the dilapidated, boarded-up houses. I used to live in Albany for a little bit, and there were a number of houses on my street where, they were condemned. You couldn't do anything about it. And, you had to worry about various things about that. And then, just driving around Poughkeepsie, you do see that, unfortunately. But I want to focus on what you were saying about the local business, because not only is it just boosting up the physical parts of the community, but here you are really boosting local business. This is creating jobs for people, and the more projects that y'all have and the more businesses you bring in, obviously the people that they already have, but they might need to hire more people as well. And hopefully it's this whole trickle down effect, a whole positive one, it seems.
It really is. And the business community here in Dutchess County, I really have enjoyed getting to know some of the contractors and different businesses that do work in the construction field, mm-hmm. and environmental testing and all those other services that we require, appraisals, all those services that
Walsh valuation.
All those services that we require to do our work, let's spread it around. We take care of each other in this community, and it's a fabulous business community here in Dutchess County.
Yeah.
Meeting folks through whether it be the Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. or just putting requests for proposals out there. And I often get calls and people want to know, what do you mean by, you know, partnerships and yes. things like that. And we are a one employee organization, so it's not like we'll be doing the construction ourselves. So.
No, I can't imagine that. Yeah, no, that is a lot. That's a lot of to put on some folks. So how long have you been in this position as executive director, and how long have you been affiliated with the land bank since you said things really go back to only 2012?
Well, our land bank actually, land banks were created by law in 2012 in New York State, but our land bank has been in existence since 2021. Mm-hmm. And it took, you know, it's a nonprofit, it's a public authority. So it took a lot of time just to get the organization's, you know, legal status established and all of those things.
Yep.
So, you know, I started in September of 23, so okay. I just passed my 2-year mark.
There you go.
But I've been working in nonprofit affordable housing for over a decade. Of course, passionate about it.
Yeah, you know, this is a real passion of yours.
It's definitely a passion. It's when you think about home and you think about you think about the success of your neighbors and their children, and just how can you dream, have any yeah. success if you don't have a stable home, right?
So it's one of the core foundations.
Absolutely.
Like it's one of the, you talk about like needs versus wants, you know, this is a need. It really is a need. So with the passion in this and the legacy that you're creating prior to the land bank and then working with the land bank, could you talk about some of the, you know, the personal side of things? You know, we're talking about like physical structures, but let's talk about the people living in the houses. What have you seen like when you've been working on these revitalization projects? Are there certain moments that have really stuck with you when it comes to the families that you guys have been able to help?
Well, through my career, I've had just phenomenal. I could tell you stories all day long about this.
I love it. That's what we're here for. That's why we got the mics.
So it's amazing how even just applying for a program, and there's a number of programs in our region in the Lower Hudson Valley that help folks with first-time home ownership. You know, in order to do that, you have to get your financial papers in order, and you have to make sure that you're mortgage ready, and you know, just a long list of things that folks go through to even apply for these programs or apply for a mortgage if you don't use a program. And just doing that, sometimes I've seen people just launch into new careers, really get motivated, learn what a budget is. And there's organizations that are helping folks, you know, with budgeting and learning those skills. And those mm-hmm. really are the key to successful homeownership. So yeah. When you've never thought about your budget before, or you never even dreamed about owning a house, and you know, if that's a generational thing. If you didn't have parents that owned a house, you might not have had that on your to-do list.
Yeah, never thought it was possible for you.
Or didn't think it was possible, right? But yeah. when you sit down and you go over your finances and you realize that it is indeed possible through the help of you know, programs, or just your local banks also have lots of help and educational materials to get you ready to buy your own house, your yep. first house. So I've seen people that started out working in a warehouse and, you know, wound up as a dental hygienist. I've seen oh, wow. people go back and get their master's degrees. I've seen the health improvements of children that were living in, you know, not so great, you know, circumstances, of whether the buildings are older or, you know, not exactly environmentally perfect, yeah. I guess you could say,
you could have mold, and
the rates of asthma. I mean, I've had yeah. a family where both the mother and the child, their like hospitalization went to almost zero, like almost never, and their medication use was decreased by like 75%. So I've seen the health benefits. I've seen people just start to dream bigger. I had a woman once tell me that she proved to her children, like her dream was to own a house. She came here to the area, and she was working as a fruit picker, mm-hmm. In the, you know, picking onions. And then she wound up putting herself through learning English, putting herself through school, college, as a nurse. And then, you know, she told her children, like, that was my dream. My dream was to get this house, and I've gotten it. And so now you have to choose some dreams, and you have to shoot for them. And both of her children went to college. and one is an accountant, and just really inspirational and those things. That's why you go to work. And this is hard work.
It is hard work.
It's hard work. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of, you know, just the processes you have to go through. And you know, you have to follow all the zoning laws and you have to do all these things that, you know, and the permitting and all those things, but it's so worth it when somebody realizes a dream and you're part of that, like, that's really special.
That is so special. Oh my gosh. You know, certain things that you pointed out there, like the health advantages that you bring up, you know, that's something that I don't think a lot of people think of, like the change of home, your change of environment can really drastically change your health, whether it's, you know, your mental health or your physical health, really your physical health, depending on what's around you. And then, you know, as you said, it's hard work, the zoning laws, having to do all the paperwork. You know, I just heard a video of this guy, a local author, saying how change doesn't happen like one singular person in the movies leading a charge. It comes through a lot of boring paperwork and following the steps. And that's tougher than being that main character in a movie, you know? And
it is.
But you guys are doing such amazing work making that happen for people. That's phenomenal. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
Hi, everybody. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County, coming to you from our new MHA studios, where Connor Walsh is now producing all of our social media. I'm so happy to be here, and we're going to be right here in this spot this Monday, November 24th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Michelle Barone and I from Red will be sitting here. We're going to have guests on for 2 hours, and we're going to be holding a telethon. We're going to be raising money, or a videothon, I guess. We're going to be raising money to fund gift cards for our clients here at MHA who can't afford food for the holiday season. So I'm hoping that you tune in, you put a little thing in your calendar and check us out live on that day. There'll be a way for you to donate. And if you see the feed, if you're sitting home and you're at work, you see the feed, share it. Share the live feed on your own so we can get this word out and people can watch our show and hear what's going on, and you guys can all help out and make a donation. And we're gonna make a lot of people happy this holiday season because of your help. So please help us out. Look for us on Monday, the 24th from 2 to 4 p.m.
Hang hope this holiday. Support Mental Health America. MHA's annual wreath sale is back. Support Mental Health America of Dutchess County this holiday season by purchasing a beautiful, fresh wreath for only $30. Please pre-order by November 19th to guarantee availability. Orders accepted while supplies last. Order online at mhadutchess.org/wreath or call 845-473-2500 extension 1391 to order or schedule delivery. Happy holidays from MHA of Dutchess County.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
A message from Dutchess Beer Distributors. From now to the end of November, Dutchess Beer Distributors presents Football Face-Off. Come on out to your favorite Hudson Valley bars and restaurants where you can win free Bud Light and neutral seltzers, along with other awesome prizes. Try your hand at one of their three games: football toss, beer can cornhole, or flick a field goal. You can check out the events calendar to see where Dutchess Beer Distributors will be next in the description of this episode.
The Vital Women of Washington Heights presents Beyond Hot Flashes and High Heels Fashion Show, a night to mingle and embrace the beauty and power of being a woman. The event takes place at the Salt Boutique Labs on 70 East Main Street, Wappingers Falls, on Thursday, December 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. The night will include an inspiring fashion show, hors d'oeuvres and specialty cocktails, local vendors, and more. Not to mention, I'll be DJing. You can go to the link in the description or visit the QR code on your screen to get tickets for this fashionable and festive event. Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. It's the end of the year, and you may need to free up space for guests for the holidays, store seasonal decorations, secure valuables, and maybe even hide the presents. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings before, during, and after the festive season. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Up next, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications.
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Woman-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show and play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
So, kind of branching off of that a little bit, people applying for those houses, people wanting houses, people thinking that they could never have a house. We said before we got onto the mic officially, breaking some stigmas behind what affordable housing really means. And I know you have some stuff on your phone that you could probably pull up. And I'm curious to hear what you're going to be showing us here about like the stats of Dutchess County and in general with affordable housing.
Well, you know, when we talk about affordable housing, you know, I like to think and I like to talk about housing more as accessible housing. Mm-hmm. Just because when people think about affordable housing, you know, sometimes people think about the wrong things, or, you know, you don't necessarily realize, you know, who we're talking about. Like, who are we talking about that qualifies for affordable housing? And, you know, it's your neighbor. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's the income guidelines luckily have increased because we're in a high cost area. So, you know, we're really close to New York City, and some of the prices, people are getting priced out of rental units and home ownership. So, you know, yes, it's partly because we haven't been building enough housing for decades, really. We, you know, people talk about that all the time. But people also have to realize that, you know, when we talk about qualifying for an affordable home and through any of the programs that we have in our community, we're talking about working people. We're talking about people that are working really hard. We're talking about folks that, you know, they have regular jobs. Where, you know, if I will pull up a style,
yeah,
pull up the chart so that we can talk about.
Please do.
You know, we all know folks that in a family of four that make $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a single earner or you have two, you know, adults working and they're making, you know, they could be, that's if they split it in half, that's $40,000 each. Or
yeah,
maybe somebody's only working part-time because they're, you know, they're also taking care of their children part-time.
Or health, or taking care of parents, or a variety of different things. And, you know, I remember like growing up, $80,000, that was like, oh my God, you got $80,000 coming in? $80,000 doesn't go as far as it used to, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't. And when we talk about the housing crisis, and why do we call it a crisis? We call it a crisis because a very large portion of people living in our community spend more than 50% of their income on housing.
Oh my God, it is so easy to do that. You know, you look at rents around here and correct me if I'm wrong. I was reading up on this. They were saying for our area of New York, a single renter, that I'm not talking about like multiple people in the family, a single renter needs to at least be working on average 60 hours a week just to afford rent on average.
So that's when we talk about the costs of housing increasing and wages not matching that, right? So, you know, after COVID, the housing costs just skyrocketed here for varieties of reasons, and people want to live here. I want to live here. It's beautiful here. Yeah. You know, there's great schools, there's, you know, opportunities. But when people come to an area and there's not enough housing, well, the price of that goes up. So, you know, we have to do something about that. We need to, you know, we just blatantly need to increase supply. Like that's a given. But we also have to do, you know, do things creatively, work with each other, the housing organizations, private developers. We all need to be working together to create housing that is affordable. You know, the other problem we have too is that the prices of construction materials. So we talk about, oh, well, we just need to increase supply. Well, when you're in an area and the you know, where you can sell a house in maybe the city of Poughkeepsie, you can sell an average house, maybe like a 3-bedroom house, you know, and you're going to get $300,000 for a house, a brand new house or in there, but it costs $500,000 to build one.
Yeah.
We have a problem. Who can do that? Right.
Exactly.
No, you know, nobody can do that. It doesn't, you know, the private developers aren't going to do that. They're not going to build a house and sell it at a loss.
Yeah.
But that's where organizations like ours come in. We're able to use grant funds to subsidize the cost of the housing so that where the maximum price you might get for a home and what it costs to build it, when there's that gap, that's where we come in. That's where housing organizations that have grant funds available to them come in. And we're able to do that. We're not looking to make a profit, number one, because we are a nonprofit organization, but we also have ways of, you know, closing that gap, that cost versus sale gap, which has been, of course, increasing drastically too since COVID. So, you know, it's housing organizations are really necessary, and we all need to collaborate and, you know, work with our developers and just get some housing built.
It's tough whether you're renting an apartment or renting or owning a home. The ability to do so, you know, that John Mellencamp, Little Pink Houses for You and Me, it's tougher and tougher and tougher. Every time I hear that song, I kind of scoff at it. And it's like, you know, my dad working in real estate and him being an appraiser, he gets it. You know, I'm very lucky that he gets it. Like for somebody in our case, you know, where here we are, we're just starting our lives and it's tough too. It's very tough. I know friends where their families are like, oh, why can't you do this? We did this when we were your age. My dad's in the field. He sees it and is like, oh, Connor, he's like, save your money, do what you can. We'll help you out if we can. We know this ain't easy. So when it comes to that, I really would love to take a look at whatever tables that you pulled up there. I would love to learn more about what you were saying before we got onto the mic, because you were starting to say some very interesting things that I think people out there are going to be interested to hear.
Yeah. So when we talk about who qualifies for affordable housing, we always talk about the average median income of this area. And this area, HUD has the Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, Middletown as one group. So this, the lower Hudson Valley here. And when we talk about affordable housing and who qualifies that for that, we talk about people that make 80% of the area median income or less. And like I said earlier, for a family of four, that's $80,000. For a single person, it's $55,590. So if you know anybody who's, you know, working their job and they're, you know, putting in their time and they're that's who we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about, I know I'm talking about my adult children, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about people working at the hospital. We're talking about the folks that serve you in restaurants. We're talking about, you know, people working in office buildings. There's, you know, and people in the nonprofit sector. We're talking about a lot of people.
We're talking about teachers. We're talking about
that's the thing. If you have a single earner household, if you have a single parent and two children, and $71,950 is the 80% AMI for this area. And this might even be last year's chart. And I have a feeling it is. I think it's a little more than this now. Mm. You know, teachers, there's teachers that make less than $71,950,
right? Absolutely.
We're talking about, you know, LPNs. We're talking about people working in the hospital. You know, maybe the actual physical therapist makes more than that, but the physical therapy aide might not.
No.
Right? And we're talking about professional people. We're talking about our neighbors. We're talking about our children. We're talking about, you know, people that deserve to live here. They grew up here. They want to live here. And they should be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And when like majority of your income is going towards rent, and then you can't, and that's on top of, you know, you got student loans, you have credit card debts, if you have any of that, if you're trying to pay off your car, if you have a lease on your car, you have to worry about your phone bill, your internet bill, you have all these other things. If you've had past medical debt, say you've had you were talking before about people with their hospitalization and having better housing help them to decrease that. But if you're have chronic conditions that keep sending you over there, that's going to build up too. There are so many things that are unfortunately just weighing people down, kind of like the ball and chains that we're all carrying. I kind of think of Christmas Carol with all the ghosts carrying the chains, but instead of like the decisions we made in life, the debts, that instead of being a ghost on the other side carrying the decisions, here we are in our physical lives carrying around the debts that are weighing us down.
I mean, it's easy to accumulate debt now when everything is so expensive. You know, like if you think about like the percentage of a person's income that has to go to childcare today. Yeah. If you have young children that aren't of school age and aren't of, you know, the age where they can take care of themselves, very large portion. So if you're gonna pay 50% of your income for housing, and then you have that other percentage that needs to go for childcare, you don't have much left.
No.
And certainly you don't have enough to accumulate a large down payment on a, you know, you think if you were buying a house for $300,000, you need $60,000 in cash. Who can save that up today?
Yeah.
You know, it's really difficult. So, you know, programs really are for everyone. You know, I think sometimes people don't necessarily think, oh, well, I'll be eligible for a program, but people are. And even like at the local banks, there's assistance for down payments and things like that. So, you know, we all have to get on board and, you know, assist with, you know, first time home ownership. Because, you know, you're going to change people's lives for generations once you bring that. That's generational wealth. That's what we talk about, right?
And easily.
How important home ownership is to a family and increasing that familial generational wealth.
Yeah, the security and stability there, it really does go a long way in to be able to create that longevity. And you're right, as you're saying, it's like, sure, if you're able to actually pay your rent or pay your mortgage or pay whatever, pay all your bills, if you're lucky enough to be able to do that, you're probably not saving a lot. That's the thing too. And like that keeps people in these holes as well. And it's like, there's no room for the movement, which is a very scary and terrifying thing for a lot of people. That's where so much anxiety comes from. And we talk to a lot of mental health specialists here, and there's a mental health crisis. There's a loneliness crisis. There's all that going on. So you can see how all of these are interconnected. Just as you said, how this revitalization project trickles down in a positive way to help people all in the area, just like all these different crises, how they're connected one to another here.
They really are. And we're lucky in Dutchess, we have so many organizations working on all of those stress points that we're talking about.
But yeah, as we were saying, the trickle down of it all and how it does impact and how it does help. And you're saying how a lot more people are eligible for these things than they realize. So when somebody, let's say they are a first-time homeowner, they've only been renting, or they haven't even rented, they just going out there, where should people be going to take advantage of a number of these programs to help them start that longevity of, you know, homeownership and the generational wealth?
Well, some great housing orgs in the Valley include Hudson River Housing. They have a first-time home ownership program. I know that they have hundreds of people go through that program a year, so mm-hmm. It's a fabulous program. Pathstone also offers home ownership counseling. They also have foreclosure prevention counseling, and I believe they do
That's
that
important.
Over at Hudson River Housing as well. And REPCO is another organization that has a lot of programs in housing. Habitat for Humanity, of course, they education, homeownership education is a huge portion of that program. So, you know, there's a lot out there. Also, you know, if you're thinking about homeownership, you know, talk to the bank that you use as your banking institution and see what they have to offer, because I know they all have a lot of programs, and they also have grants available for help with down payment and things like that. So, you know, using the programs that we have available to us here, and I think that some of those down payment assistance, I don't even know if they're income restricted, some of them. So,
and that's big.
And that's really huge. So really important to, you know, if that's reach out to these great organizations and your local banks and, you know, find out who has something to offer, you know, if that's something that's on your, you know, on your dream board.
Yeah.
Let's get it done, right?
Absolutely. And then when it comes to people learning more about you guys, what you do, and then let's say there's some community partners that want to work with you guys, or you can work with them, vice versa, how can people learn more about you guys? Is there anywhere online where they can go or contact or whatnot?
Well, absolutely. Well, and we also didn't talk about the fact that we did just acquire our first property.
Hey, we do got to talk about that. Yes, absolutely.
So when we acquire a property, we do also do some community input sessions. So we like to talk to the community and find out what it is, folks that live right there in that neighborhood. So we just acquired a vacant parcel in the city of Poughkeepsie. It's on Lincoln Avenue, very close to the hospital.
Yes.
And reaching out to community members to see, you know, what they have in mind. But we are going to, and that one won't be for sale because we acquired that just through the open market. We had to purchase it, like, you know, from found it on Zillow, like a lot of other people.
Even they have to go through Zillow too. They have to work it.
Right? So, so we're really excited about that. And we're hoping to start construction on a multifamily house there and have it available sometime soon.
Yeah. All these are projects. It's going to take some time. But that's good that you reach out to the people in the neighboring area to get their input on things. And yeah, so where should they go if they want to contribute to that input?
Yeah. So, you know, if you want just more information about our land bank and what we do and why we do it, you can visit our website, and that is dcpoklandbank.org. Also reach out. Our email is simple, info@dcpoklandbank.org, or just give me a call. Usually accessible. Not this week.
Well, when she's not doing interviews, she'll be more accessible.
Yeah. So any questions, you can just reach out and we'd be happy to give you more information. You know, we are still, since we don't have anything for sale, you know, I know that there's a lot of more established land banks in the state. And so folks often come to us looking for, oh, well, what programs do you have? And I do have to say that, like, you know, each piece of land that we acquire is going to be, you know, it will be developed for some specific purpose, but none that we know right now. So, you know, the website's always going to have what we have listed there, what we own and what we have available, and how anybody could go about acquiring something from us. But at the moment, we don't have any property for sale.
Hey, you're working. You keep working on things until you get there. It's never going to be like everything all at once. It's all a project. It's all a process.
It's a process. We're really working on acquiring some property so that we can get started, you know, creating some housing.
Terrific. That's amazing.
Folks in the community.
Absolutely. So we're wrapping up this episode now. And again, people can find all the information and the contacts in the description of this episode, so you don't have to go too far, have it all together for you guys. But Amy, is there any last little nugget that you want to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience? You know, majority of the people listening to this are New Yorkers. So anything about New York homeowners, anything about our local community, any last little nugget? Is there something that we haven't brought up or something that you just really want to reinforce?
Well, I would say, you know, the Dutchess County community is a fabulous community. And I think that, you know, if we concentrate on working together in collaboration, whether it be nonprofit organizations, private developers, or whatever the case might be, I think if we take care of each other and we collaborate, like, we could really make a lot of progress here. You know, it's a fabulous community, lots of resources, and you know, working together in collaboration is key to successful, you know, homeownership projects, rental unit projects, whatever the case might be. And also, you know, when you have a dream, as such as if homeownership is something that you really do dream about, you know, there are resources. And, you know, Dutchess County Land Bank is looking forward to being one of those resources. So we're going to get going. It's been in the works for a little bit, but we're getting there, and look forward to, you know, serving folks in Dutchess County. You know, community input is part of our mission. Like, we want to do this in, you know, in partnership with the folks that live here. So yeah, that's what we're all about.
Terrific. Amy, again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the community. I can tell how passionate you are about all of this, and I'm excited to see where everything goes.
Excellent. Thank you for having me today. And absolutely, I look forward to inviting you out to some of our projects. And
absolutely,
having you guys there.
Please do. I'm Connor.
And I'm Amy.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, Vivash MedSpa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fun Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.